Alexa, do you solemnly swear that you will tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you, Jeff?
I plead the fifth.
Hello and welcome to Terrifying Robot Dog. I'm Jonathan Stark.
And I'm Kelly Shaver.
And we're here to talk about how technology is changing the way we kill people in our hot tubs.
Or something.
This week, we talk about the Alexa murder. Please stay tuned. Terrifying Robot Dog is next.
That sounds so foreboding.
I dare you not to listen, dear listener. So, wow. This news occurred in December, I believe. December 2016. We're just now back from break and getting around to talking about it.
Yes, we are nothing if not punctual. Which is to say, not punctual.
So, if you haven't heard about this, this is going to be really interesting. If you have heard about it, it might be old news, but I think that we've got some information to add, or at least some perspective to add to this.
Or crazy theories, at the least.
Yes. Yeah. Some total tinfoil hat stuff. Which, I mean, really, how crazy is it? We have added listening devices to our house, so.
Yeah. I now have so many of them that when I speak to one, multiple devices hear me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, so summary of what we're talking about. So dude in Arkansas is accused of murdering a guy in his hot tub, which I think was on his patio, at his house. And when police arrived on the scene to investigate the death, it turns out there was an echo sitting there that was playing music. So there's an echo in earshot of what might have been a crime scene.
Yeah, I was kind of impressed that they even thought about this.
Right. But not only did they think about this, but the police are actually way ahead of where I give them credit for being, because they checked several smart home devices. Apparently, the accused murderer was quite the geek and had quite a few smart home devices. And one of the things was a smart water meter, which showed that 140 gallons of water were used between 1 a.m. and 3 a.m. The night of the death, when this guy was found dead in this other guy's hot tub. So, you know, that seems a little strange. And, you know, but specific to the story, the echo angle, the police subpoenaed Amazon to turn over recordings from the device from that time period or that night. And Amazon said, basically, they probably said something very, very specific. Yes. And I'm going to gloss over the very, very specific wording they used. But the way it sounded to a normal person is we don't have recordings of any of that time period because it's not constantly listening and sending that information to our servers. So the key there, I think, turns out later, is that saying something like it's not always listening and sending information to our servers.
That's kind of a half truth.
It's not doing the combination of those two things. It seems like kind of a half truth because it appears that it is always listening and recording locally.
Which is interesting from all kinds of angles. But from a technical standpoint, it does kind of make sense. She has to hear the wake word before she can respond. So, of course, it's going to happen after. So there has to be at least a few seconds worth of recording being kept. I guess the question is just how much do they keep?
Sure, exactly. And so if you go into the Alexa app, you can go back and hear the recording of the person saying, Alexa, tell me a joke or whatever. Mm-hmm. So you can tell who did it, which is potentially useful. Say if you have roommates and somebody's ordering stuff on your Amazon account,
yeah,
you could go back and sort of identify by listening to the voice who it was. But from a technical standpoint, there's the potential for latency there that would create a really bad user experience. So if you, I have noticed that when you're talking to a device that has Alexa, like an Echo, you say, Alexa.
And then you pause.
And you pause and the light turns blue. And then you say, how tall is Abraham Lincoln or something?
Even though you don't really have to do that.
Exactly my point. You don't have to wait. And I discovered that after a while. And it's much nicer not to have to wait. So you can say, Alexa, blah, blah, blah. Alexa, how tall is Amazon? How tall is Amazon Lincoln? That was his daughter they don't talk about. Alexa, you know, how tall is Barack Obama? And it immediately... It's kind of like it was listening already.
Kind of.
And when it detects its wake word, it will kind of grab. I mean, yes, I said that after Alexa, but if you try this with Siri, it doesn't work. You have to wait for Siri to make her little boop boop noise.
Yeah, you have to wait. And Alexa's not like that. And, you know, I just realized the thing that annoys me the most about this is that if it's recording beforehand and then responding to the wake word, it should totally be able to say, "You're welcome," when I say, "Thanks, Alexa," and not "Alexa, thanks," which just feels weird.
Yes, that's awesome. It could like review the recording, you know, like 10 seconds on either side of the wake word.
Mm-hmm.
But then that would mean that it was recording audio locally, and that might scare people.
Yeah,
I guarantee you there were like hundreds of meetings of, you know, like hundreds of man hours eaten up in meetings deciding how this was going to work and what the user experience would be.
Yeah. And how long it's going to record for. And like, does it just keep a 30-second clip? Does it, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So like, if you think of it like a security microphone, you know, like a security camera, they don't, for storage reasons, if you put a security cam in a place, typically an old school one that has like videotape, if anybody remembers that, it's not going to go on forever. Like you got to switch the tape every night and it's only going to go back so far. And you know, there's sort of a limit to it. If you're recording on a hard drive or even like database backups in general, you know, you're going to just keep the most recent ones because storing them all would become cost prohibitive.
Yeah. Audio files get huge.
Yeah. So, I mean, this brings up, so from a technical standpoint, I think it's fair to say that it's probably a smart decision technically to have it recording, you know, maybe a couple of minutes of, you know, just a rolling couple of minutes.
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
Right. If you know that it's just getting disposed and so forth, but the sort of, you can imagine the complexity of the PR discussion around that, or like the, you know, like how do we describe, like, oh, you know, well, yeah, it is recording you all the time, but it throws it away after 5 minutes. And it's like, it sounds a little weaselly, but then not talking about it at all sounds kind of weaselly too. So here's the thing. Okay. So there was a whole bunch of, so like the real tinfoil hat people in my network, the supreme privacy wonks, were like, see, we told you, you know, Internet of Things and blah, 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 and like freaking out. And Amazon is listening to us all the time to find out what our kids like, and then adding that to recommended on our shopping lists. And
this is why they tried to make a cell phone with that face tracking camera. And
So I'm like, all right. Actually, there's sort of two angles to this. One is like Amazon. Let's just say that it's a complete spy device.
Okay.
You know what I mean? It's spying in the worst way. Amazon is not spying on you because they want to get you arrested. If they're spying on you, it's because they want to recommend things to you that you want.
That you like. Yeah. They want to recommend things you like.
They want to make relevant ads for you.
Yeah. And look at the dozens and dozens of other ways that companies collect data to serve you relevant ads already.
Yes.
And I'm like, you know, adding one more to the pile, I don't really care.
Right. I don't care about that aspect of it. The scary thing is that, you know, like sort of poorly designed Wi-Fi connected baby cameras or whatever they're called.
Can be hacked.
Yeah, they can be hacked. So then it's like, okay, that's a little different.
Or depending on your perspective, that they can be subpoenaed in court.
Right. And this, so, okay, it becomes this gigantic, it's going to be a gigantic legal issue as the Internet of Things stuff becomes more widely adopted. It's going to be like, okay, who owns that information? Or what right to privacy can we expect to that information? Because normally, you know, I mean, I don't really know what the rules are, but I have the impression that you know, law enforcement has to have some sort of, you know, they have to have a warrant to come in your house and search around, and they have a warrant, they can do that. And then what are they entitled to?
Right.
And there are some protections against, you don't have to reveal your passwords for things to police, is my understanding.
But they can access your hard drive.
Your hard drive if it doesn't have a password on it.
Mm.
You can't be forced to reveal the password, which is one of the arguments against using a fingerprint sensor as a password.
Because interesting.
They can force you to use your fingerprint, weirdly enough. The same way that they can force you to open the trunk of your car, but they can't force you to tell them something in your mind. See what I mean? Yeah, which makes sense if you think about it. Like, if you have something in your mind, law enforcement is not allowed to coerce you to let it out of your mind.
Yeah, they're not allowed to read your mind yet.
Yes. Yeah. But if, you know, if they want your fingerprint or they want you to open your car keys, they can do that. So it's sort of a, I mean, it's sort of a fine line, but it's an important one, I think, if you care about that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So there are a couple of really interesting issues come up around this. Let's just say there's a tape recorder running in your house all the time, which in my house there is because Cooper's constantly YouTubing everything.
Right.
So, you know, we have to keep things on the up and up and the pants on the up and up. So, but there's this sort of question of like, what happens if you know, these devices weren't designed for this? What if they create something that is sort of, what if they create circumstantial evidence that appears to be damning, but in fact is just wrong? Like, what if the guy's water meter reader is just wrong?
Yeah, or he had a water line break, or yeah, any number of things.
Right. Yeah, I mean, there could be I'm sure there are probably a half a dozen excuses that his lawyer is working on coming up with right now, but
I'm sure there are.
I'm mostly interested in the bug related ones or the framing him related ones.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, what if someone's trying to frame him? They dumped a guy in this thing, and then they let out a bunch of. I suppose if they had access to the property and they could throw a guy in his hot tub, then they could also turn the hose on for 2 hours, but they wouldn't have to hack into anything.
Yeah, and I mean, how many times do you just, like, sitting around with friends and family say things that are
taken out of context would be, yeah. I'm coaching a lot of students lately, which is a completely separate thing, but people who, when people are listening to you that are going to make decisions based on, make decisions or do actions based on what you're saying, if it's taken out of context and all they have is like this little snippet and there's like a particular tone, you could imagine having like a vent session with your significant other where you're the only person recorded and it's presented as like, this is how this person believes. And it's like, oh, that's kind of scary.
Yeah. I'm sitting here doing a lot of tongue biting, considering this episode is airing on Inauguration Day.
Is that tomorrow?
Yes.
Oy vey.
Uh-huh.
I mean, well, okay, that's a perfect segue. Perfect segue, because you know what I wanted to bring up?
Mm.
The I'm not doing anything wrong. I have nothing to hide argument. Really? Well, maybe under the current law of the land, you have nothing to hide. But let's say, oh, I don't know, a new administration comes to power. I don't want to like go too far over the top, but McCarthyism happened. And if you are an enemy of the new state and the new party has access to an ear in your home, do you trust them to not take advantage of that? I sure don't. And it's like, you know, so basically to put that in a more clear way, what you're doing right now might become illegal or it might become embarrassing or useful to someone in the future. Because I had someone say to me, like, I mean, just because it never happened doesn't mean it can't. And yes, I don't want to come across like the sky is falling Chicken Little type of thing. But I've got like, what do I have? 10 of these things. It's not like I care.
Right.
But it is going to end up more and more. We're going to see it in the courtroom. The way that cell phones and text messaging started to show up in movies and then the courtroom, it's going to start showing up in movies and then it's just becoming part of the culture.
It is. It's becoming part of our daily lives. And I mean, in the same way, I'm not scared of it. And I don't really have this fear that something is going to suddenly become illegal or that something I said is going to wind me up arrested because I was joking around with someone that an Alexa happened to overhear. I'm not afraid of those things, but I could certainly see where expressing some opinion or thoughts or things could become not illegal or not getting you into trouble, but like, you know, embarrassing or not advantageous or maybe potentially harmful when looking for a job or who knows.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Or health insurance or.
Yeah.
I mean, if nothing else, imagine that you get into a dispute with a roommate or a estranged spouse. So, I mean, there are times when or even if you have a strongly motivated teenager,
mm-hmm,
who disagrees with your decision to not let them buy in-app purchases for Minecraft or whatever teenagers are into these days. You know, you can imagine somebody who has reason to target you, you know, and it's not like, mm-hmm, it doesn't have to be the, you know, big brother. It could be your neighbors who you're fighting about where your fence should be, or it could be who are just looking to embarrass you.
Yeah, or your coworker or whatever.
Yeah, coworker, subordinate, you know, somebody who reports to you. There's a million people who like might have it out for you.
Yeah, and we had an episode last season talking about just how insecure a lot of these Internet of Things devices are.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's how the major DNS outages and the DDoS on the dying DNS servers happened, was from insecure IoT devices.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's a wild angle. So, I mean, I guess it's kind of silly to focus directly, you know, this is a high profile story because it's such a great story. Like, how can you not,
you know?
But the fact of the matter is, you know, smartphones are in use right now by something like, I don't know, 2 billion adults globally.
And what, like 9 billion teenagers?
Yeah. And guess what? They all have a microphone. And guess what? If they have Siri or Google Now, they're listening, just like this thing in your house. So if it's like, if you're really that worried about Echo, if you're really that worried about an Echo device, I'd be more worried about my phone. The phone's with you all the time. It's like in your desk, next to your nightstand. You're in the litter box. Mm-hmm. Like, no, everywhere you go, pretty much, you've got that phone with you, and it's got a microphone. And in fact, I have heard tell that even back in the day when there was, you know, straight up cell phones, that when people would have like really sort of corporate secret type meetings, that secret meetings, you had to leave your phones outside or take the batteries out of them.
Yeah. Yeah. Just turning them off wasn't enough.
Right. Right. So, you know, when you think about, and this actually, there come to think of it, there have been stories about, what was it, sort of school, some sort of tampering in a school system where high schoolers, I think, were given school-issued laptops where the webcam light was deactivated. So the webcam light wouldn't come on when it was on.
Yeah, and the school could turn on the webcams.
Yeah. So think about it. You know, I'm a Mac guy. And when that little green light comes on, I'm like, if I don't know why, if I didn't just turn it on, I'm like, okay.
Yeah. Sometimes I'll leave the preferences panel for Skype open and forget to close it.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I'll look over and I'll see the green light and I'm
right. It's freaky. Like there's like all of a sudden you looked over and there's an eyeball staring
yeah,
at you.
Like, yeah. Ooh. It's like a friend of mine bought this thing, maybe linked to it or something. It's like a little thing that sticks onto your Mac and has this window that slides back and forth to cover the camera.
Nice. Yeah. I once saw a photo of Mark Zuckerberg at his desk at work, and there was tape over the webcam and the microphone, which I found hilarious. Like, oh, you're like Mr. Identity on the internet, but let's make sure we have our privacy.
Yeah, yeah. You just want everyone else's information. But no one gets yours.
Yeah, well, I'm different.
Yeah.
Everybody's everybody else except for me. So, I mean, this is a great story. It's supposed to go to court this year at some point. The lawyer for the defense is going to come up with all sorts of interesting angles. You know, like this is, you know, there's an expectation of privacy in your home. You know, law enforcement shouldn't be able to use technology that advances our quality of life against us, blah, 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 blah. And it'll be so wild.
Yeah, we're gonna need new laws or changes to existing laws we have. The technology is gonna change faster than they can keep up.
Yeah, as has been the case. So it'll be interesting too. I still think it's worth, even if you aren't gonna do anything about it, I think it's really nice. I was gonna say important. Important's the wrong word. I think it's really nice to know the trade-off you're making instead of being like, oh wow, this thing is really convenient and there are no trade-offs.
Yeah, informed decisions are always better than uninformed decisions.
Thank you. Much better said. Yes, exactly. So, yeah, that's probably a good place to leave it. Hopefully that was thought-provoking.
Yes. You had a tinfoil hat theory, though?
Oh, you're right. So, okay. Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. So you, okay, for the past, this story happened in like December. It started to break big, I think, in December 2016.
Mm-hmm.
About a week and a half ago, I noticed that the Alexa in my office, it didn't pick up it. Like I would say, Alexa, it wouldn't come on. It wouldn't. I have to go right up to it. It was changed. Like the way it listened seemed to have changed. It was not listening as well. And so I was like, it didn't think anything of it. I was like, oh, maybe something changed. You know, it's winter and the heat's on. Maybe that's got some background noise or something. But the thing about the Echoes was that from day one, it was amazing at hearing you. It was amazing. And okay, so that's sort of in the back of my mind. Story is happening. Don't put two and two together at all. No connection whatsoever. Then Erica mentions to me, she's like, there's something wrong with the echo in the kitchen, which is the one we use the most. It's mm-hmm. just not picking stuff up, or it's randomly saying stuff when no one talked to it.
Yeah, ours has been doing that a lot lately.
Lately, right. And then so we started, you know, pre-show, we were talking about this. And before I even said anything about that, you volunteered that they've been listening differently.
Yeah, they have been. I don't notice that it's gotten any worse. In fact, I think in my case, it may have actually gotten a little better. I don't know if it's just something about my voice, but Alexa always seemed to have kind of a hard time understanding me. She gets everyone else in the house fine. But I've definitely noticed a difference. Like the other night, I was sitting here in my office, and there's an echo, like an actual echo that's maybe 3 feet from me. And then maybe 10 feet away on the other side of a wall in the bathroom, we have an Echo Dot. And I had said, I think I just said, Alexa, what's tomorrow's forecast? And the one here in the office didn't pick up, but the one in the bathroom just kind of yelled the forecast out to me.
Well, so here, okay, that's interesting. I think, I wonder which one heard you and if it got confused about which one responded. That it's just, I don't know. I just sort of like, that was the developer, me creeping out of my shell, but it, like I was going to debug it right now. But yeah. The thing that I think the conspiracy theory, the tinfoil hat theory, is that they rolled out a change. They silently rolled out a change that to the way that it listens. And I'll bet you it doesn't cache as much locally, or they changed something about the way it caches locally or something, because it's not as good. But I'll bet you it's more private, because this is going to turn into a, this good news story is going to not go away. The tech news is not going to let this go. They're going to follow this case. So I think they're probably like getting ready to be like, oh yeah, no, it hasn't been like that in 6 months.
Yeah, my Dot randomly rebooted the other day.
So I'm telling you, they sent down some updates. It could be that it wasn't a silent update, but you know, I didn't get a notification that the software was updated.
I didn't in their weekly What's New with Alexa. There was no mention of an update to address any of this stuff.
Yeah, so I suspect my conspiracy theory is that that they were doing something that's not going to look pretty when it comes out, and they wanted to already have it changed by the time it does become embarrassing.
Yeah, it's going to turn out it was recording 2 hours of audio instead of 2 minutes.
Yeah, I'll bet you.
Yeah, or that, or they've taken out some kind of backdoor key pair authentication to it that was in there left over from developers or something.
Yeah, like maybe they called that, some attention was called to it, so they audited their own system and they're like, oh no,
like, oops.
All right, cool. So hopefully that's thought-provoking enough for one episode. That's our show for this week. I'm Jonathan Stark.
I'm Kelly Shaver.
And we hope you join us again next week for Terrifying Robot Dog. Bye.
Bye.
Would you like to see Kelly and I in your inbox once a week? Get new episodes delivered straight to you with show notes, links to additional content, and oh, so much more. Please. No. Plus, I can't read. Plus, you can reply to any message to suggest topics for future episodes or give us feedback that we can read on the show. To get the inside track, go to terrifyingrobotdog.com and look for the Keep Me in the Loop button. That URL again is terrifyingrobotdog.com.